picture like a sprawling, chaotic metropolis, and it's just expanding in every conceivable direction at once.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right now in the world of artificial intelligence, big tech companies are acting exactly like frantic city planners.
Right.
They're desperately trying to establish, zoning laws, secure the power grids, and construct these immense, heavily guarded corporate towers just to keep everything organized and safe, I guess.
Safe being the keyword for that.
Exactly. But meanwhile, out in the suburbs, there is this unprecedented network of independent open source developers who are completely, and I mean completely, ignoring those zoning
They
laws.
really are.
They're out there figuring out how to build 80-story skyscrapers in their backyards using scrap metal, jury-rigged power lines, and just sheer ingenuity.
It's wild to watch.
It really is. So, welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are opening up a really fascinating stack of sources, specifically pulling from the March 16th, 2026 edition of Atomic News. And our mission today is not just to, read you a sterile list of software updates.
Right, nobody wants that.
No. We are mapping out a real-time collision between the corporate titans trying to control this technology and a grassroots rebellion that is rapidly democratizing it.
Yes.
We're going to answer one vital question, which is, what happens when the backyard builders figure out how to outsmart the trillion-dollar city planners?
I have to say, it is the perfect analogy to frame what we're seeing across the board today. The sources we're analyzing illustrate this exact tug of war.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
On one side, you have legacy institutions and corporate giants realizing they might be, losing their grip on the steering wheel.
Right.
And on the other, you have everyday developers moving at a speed that honestly defies traditional logic. I mean, it's staggering. We're going to break down the mechanics behind these updates, explaining not just the what, but the why and the how.
Which is so important.
It is, because we want to connect the dots so that you, listening right now, can understand how these shifts impact your world, regardless of whether you, write code for a living or are simply watching this technological revolution unfold from the sidelines. Okay, so let's unpack this. Because before we look at the actual code and the hardware those developers are using, we really need to look at the people trying to govern the ecosystem.
The city planners.
Exactly, the city planners. The institutions we typically rely on for safety and research are frantically restructuring right now. And the biggest headline on the institutional side comes from Anthropic.
Oh, yeah. This is a big one.
Right. They just launched what they're calling a public benefit institute, and they've placed Jack Clark, who's their head of public benefit, entirely in charge of it.
Which, I mean, is a very deliberate, highly calculated maneuver.
Well, my initial thought was that this just sounds like, a standard corporate safety board.
Sure.
But looking at the breakdown on the sources, it's an entirely interdisciplinary team. We are talking about hardcore machine learning engineers sitting at the exact same table as economists and social scientists. And they're giving this team inside access to frontier AI development. Their stated goal is to warn the world about upcoming societal changes before they actually hit. But, and I have to play devil's advocate here for a second,
Go for it.
isn't this just really sophisticated PR? I mean, placing a few economists in a room doesn't magically fix the profit incentive of a multi-billion dollar tech company.
No, it doesn't.
Isn't this just Anthropic trying to position themselves as the responsible adults in the room so they can write their own rules before, government regulators eventually step in?
What's fascinating here is that even if Anthropic's move is heavily motivated by public relations,
Which it probably is.
which is a very fair assumption in the corporate world, yeah, but the execution itself represents a profound operational shift. Think about what an economist actually does.
Right, they study markets and stuff.
Exactly. They study the allocation of resources, market shocks, labor disruptions. Placing them directly inside a frontier AI lab and giving them access to the bleeding edge of the tech natural. That tells us the engineers themselves recognize they've crossed a threshold.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, building AI is no longer just a math problem or like a software engineering challenge. It is a systemic societal event. And the velocity of that event is accelerating.
Which perfectly explains our next source regarding ARC5.
Yes.
For those who might not spend their weekends reading academic papers, ARC5 has been the absolute bedrock of scientific publishing for decades.
Decade, yeah.
It's the primary distribution hub for almost all AI research, and it has been tied to Cornell University this entire time.
Yeah.
But as of this update, ARC5 is severing those ties.
A huge deal.
Huge. It's becoming an entirely independent entity with financial backing from the Simons Foundation. And get this, they are stepping up to hire a CEO for around $300,000 a year just to run the operation.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it mirrors exactly what Anthropic is doing, which is bracing for the flood.
Right.
You have to imagine the sheer volume of research hitting ArcSift right now. We are talking about thousands of highly complex, incredibly dense papers being uploaded every single week.
It's a fire hose.
It's an absolute fire hose. The physical and operational infrastructure required to host, moderate, and distribute that level of information is just staggering.
So basically, an Ivy League academic department just isn't equipped to run what is essentially the central nervous system of global AI development.
Precisely. I mean, academic bureaucracy moves slowly by design.
Right.
It relies on committees and traditional funding cycles. ArcSift, breaking free from that structure, signals that the broader AI industry knows the current academic infrastructure simply cannot handle the sheer volume and velocity of what's coming next.
They need a real executive.
Exactly. They're installing a highly paid CEO because they need ruthless efficiency and long-term stability outside of university politics. The infrastructure of knowledge distribution has to evolve just to keep the lights on.
That paints a pretty vivid picture.
Yeah.
But, okay, if the institutions are frantically trying to supervise society and prepare us for what's coming, it raises a rather urgent question.
Which is?
Who is supervising the actual AI?
Yes.
Because the technology itself isn't taking a coffee break while these committees get organized. We are moving incredibly fast from standard chatbots, which, you know, just sit there and talk to you, to autonomous agents that actually navigate networks and do things on your behalf.
And that is exactly where the dynamic shifts from theoretical public safety to literal technical security.
Right.
As soon as you give an artificial intelligence agency, meaning the ability to execute code, click buttons, or traverse a network without human intervention, the risk profile completely changes.
It's not just talking anymore.
No, you're no longer just worried about a computer saying something rude. You're worried about it accidentally or intentionally breaking a system.
And that brings us to the micro level of today's deep dive. We have two major updates regarding how companies are trying to supervise these agents.
Right. Let's get into it.
First, OpenAI just acquired a tool called PromptFu. Now, the sources say they bought it specifically for agentic security testing within OpenAI Frontier.
Yes.
They are keeping the tool open source, but buying the company outright feels like a massive tell to me. They aren't just buying technology, they're buying the yardstick used to measure safety.
That's a good way to put it.
It seems like they don't want anyone else grading their homework. Am I reading too much into that?
Not at all.
Mm.
That is an incredibly astute way to look at it. Because how do you actually test an autonomous agent?
Right. How do you do
it? Can't just ask it a multiple choice question. You have to build complex digital obstacle courses for it to navigate and then monitor how it behaves when things go wrong. By acquiring PromptFu, OpenAI is internalizing that testing environment. They realize that agentic autonomy is a massive liability. If an OpenAI agent goes rogue or, you know, gets hijacked by a malicious prompt, the financial and reputational damage to the company could be catastrophic.
So they need total control.
You have to own the leash if you own the dog.
Wow. Which makes this next update from Google sound absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, this one is wild.
Google just dropped MCP, the model control protocol, directly into Chrome DevTools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for our listeners who might not spend their day swimming in developer tools, Chrome DevTools is basically the under-the-hood diagnostic dashboard of your web browser. It lets you see the code that makes a website run.
Right.
And now, Google is letting coding agents directly access that dashboard. These AI agents can now inspect the DOM, which is essentially the skeletal structure of a web page. They can set breakpoints to pause the code, and they can debug JavaScript in real time.
It's unprecedented access.
Yeah.
Giving an AI that kind of access is essentially giving it its own set of eyes and a wrench to fix the car while it's actively driving down the highway.
The wrench while driving is a brilliant analogy.
Mm.
And it highlights the core tension here.
Yeah.
When an agent has the autonomy to navigate the DOM, it can read the live state of a website. It sees the buttons, the forms, the hidden data fields.
It sees everything.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
If it can also rewrite its own operational code on the fly to fix a bug, it becomes incredibly capable, but also fundamentally unpredictable. It's no longer operating in a sterile lab. It's interacting with the live, chaotic, ever-changing internet.
But here's where it gets really interesting, because while Google and OpenAI are desperately building these leashes, buying up security companies, and constructing these heavy corporate guardrails.
The city planners again?
Exactly. Meanwhile, there is a sprawling parallel universe of independent developers out in those metaphorical suburbs who are violently ripping those exact guardrails off.
Yep.
And they're gaining some serious ammunition to do it.
This is the grassroots rebellion we mentioned earlier. This is where the democratization of the technology is happening. It's just a blistering pace.
Exactly. Let's start with NVIDIA. They just updated the licensing agreement for their Nemotron 122B model. Just for context, 122B means 122 billion parameters. That is the size and complexity of the model's digital brain.
It's massive.
A colossal piece of technology. And NVIDIA just entirely removed the rug pull guardrail termination clauses from the license.
Which is a monumental shift in the legal landscape of open source development.
Okay, so why did they do it? And what does removing a rug pull clause actually allow a developer to do?
Well, historically, when a massive company like NVIDIA released an open source model, they attached strict legal strings to it.
Okay.
A rug pull clause meant that if a developer downloaded the model and tried to modify its safety mechanism, say, to make it stop refusing certain prompts, the corporation could legally revoke their right to use the software entirely.
Literally pulling the rug out from under you.
Exactly. By removing that clause, NVIDIA is signaling to the local independent community that they can legally modify the underlying safety mechanisms of this colossal model without fear of a corporate lawyer knocking on their door.
Wow.
It's a total green light for unfiltered experimentation.
And these developers are doing this experimentation on hardware that is shockingly accessible. Our sources highlight a researcher in Munich who built his own home lab using a high-end NVIDIA Grace Hopper chip setup.
Right.
The total cost of this rig, $9,000.
I did notice the researcher added a disclaimer that wife approval is pending for that purchase.
I caught that too. It's hilarious. But here's the kicker. He claims this $9,000 rig sitting in his house has already saved him $10,000 against what he would have paid in cloud computing costs.
Incredible.
And the community isn't just saving money. They're building Frankenstein creations that rival the big labs. Look at this mashup from the sources. Developers took an uncensored version of a model called Qwen 3.5. And they merged it with the reasoning distillation of Claude Opus.
That specific combination is fascinating because of how reasoning distillation works.
Right. Can you explain that? What exactly are they distilling?
Think of it like a master craftsman teaching an apprentice.
Okay.
Instead of just giving the smaller Qwen model the final answer to a problem, reasoning distillation forces the massive, highly intelligent Claude Opus model to write out its step-by-step logic.
Oh, showing its work.
Exactly, showing its work. The developers then use those step-by-step explanations to train the smaller model. They're teaching the 9 billion parameter model how to think, not just what to think.
That is brilliant.
And because they used an uncensored base, the result is a highly creative, incredibly capable model that operates without corporate supervision.
And to make sure absolutely nothing holds them back, the open source community is rallying around a trending tool called Heretic.
Yes.
It currently has 14.6 thousand stars on GitHub, which is a massive endorsement from the developer community. Heretic provides automatic censorship removal for language models. They literally call it a clean, universal approach to model liberation.
Liberation. Very telling word choice.
Right. So, looking at all of this, I have to ask, if big tech companies are spending literally billions of dollars on massive server farms, cooling towers, and data centers, how on earth is one guy with a $9,000 rig in his house in Munich mathematically able to keep up?
It's a phenomenal question. To understand how the suburbs are keeping pace with the city planners, we really have to unpack the math of cloud computing versus local hardware.
Let's do it.
When you rent computing power from a major provider like AWS or Google Cloud, you're not just paying for the electricity. You're paying a premium for their infrastructure, their corporate overhead, and obviously their profit margin.
Right. The markup is huge.
It is. By dropping $9,000 up front on a Grace Hopper superchip, which is incredibly powerful on its own. By the way, this researcher essentially eliminated the hourly rental meter. If you are running complex AI experiments 247, that $10,000 break-even point arrives astonishingly fast.
So by owning the hardware, they completely remove the financial friction.
Yes. But the real accelerator here isn't just financial. It's the removal of bureaucratic friction.
What do you mean?
Well, corporations have to move cautiously. They have entire departments dedicated to alignment, brand safety, and ensuring their models don't generate legally actionable content.
Right, the PR nightmare we talked about earlier.
Exactly. That process requires an immense amount of time and computing power. With NVIDIA removing legal threats and tools like Heretic actively automatically stripping away censorship, this community is innovating at breakneck speed, specifically because they are ignoring the corporate safety rules entirely.
Wow.
Now, as impartial observers trying to map this out for you, the listener, we have to recognize the inherent tension here. The corporate titans view this stripping of guardrails as a severe security and societal risk.
Understandably so.
Right. But the independent developers, however, view corporate censorship as a bottleneck to true open science and essential creative freedom.
Which transitions us perfectly from the philosophy of this rebellion to the actual nuts and bolts of how they are pulling it off.
The tools.
Yes, the tools. Because a $9,000 chip is great, but it doesn't run itself, and hardware still has physical limits. So instead of just walking through a list of new software, let's look at the hurdles these independent developers face and how they're building an entirely new toolkit to jump over them.
Okay.
Let's start with the biggest hurdle for a guy in his basement, memory. When an AI gets too big, the computer panics and crashes, right?
Yes. Developers refer to it as ooming running out of memory.
Ooming.
Got it. Your computer's RAM is like a physical desk. If you try to open a blueprint that is larger than the desk, the system just fails.
Well, enter Graph Zero. This is a trending C++ engine that solves that exact problem. It uses something called memory mapping to train massive 50 gigabyte graphs without ooming.
Right.
It essentially tricks the computer into treating the hard drive like RAM, and it features what they call zero-copy NumPy integration.
Which sounds like dense jargon, I know.
It does.
But the mechanism is beautifully simple. Imagine two researchers working in a library. Normally, if one researcher wants to share a massive encyclopedia with the other, they'd have to photocopy the entire book.
That sounds exhausting.
It is, and it takes time and desk space. Yeah. That is traditional data copying.
Okay.
Zero copy means they just hand the other researcher the library card.
Oh.
Yeah. They share a reference to the data without duplicating it. Graph Zero circumvents the physical hardware limits of a consumer machine by managing data with just hyper-efficiency.
Okay, so Graph Zero solves the memory hurdle. But what about the actual time spent training? Because I imagine even with clever memory tricks, if the AI is learning the wrong thing, you are just burning electricity and wasting days of your life.
That is the second major hurdle, yes.
Yeah.
Silent failures.
And that is where a tool called Preflight comes in. It's designed to catch machine learning failures in PyTorch, which is basically the digital classroom environment where these models are trained. Preflight catches things like label leakage and dead gradients before the developer wastes days of computing time. Can you translate those terms for us?
Absolutely. Think of a dead gradient like a student who is completely tuned out of a lecture.
Okay, staring out the window?
Exactly. The AI model simply stops absorbing new information during the training process.
And label leakage.
That's even worse. It's like accidentally stapling the answer key to the back of the test.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The AI looks like a genius during training because it's cheating, but it will fail completely in the real world.
That makes total sense.
So Preflight acts like an attentive teacher. It notices the student is asleep or has the answer key and immediately pauses the class. It acts as a safety net for your wallet, stopping you from burning cash on a failed experiment.
So we have the memory solved and the training protected, but what about when the AI is actually out in the world acting as an agent? It needs to remember what it did 5 minutes ago.
Which brings us to OpenViking. It's a context database that just hit 12,000 stars on GitHub. It's designed specifically for AI agents, and it uses a file system paradigm for memory management.
I just love the elegance of this. Instead of relying on an expensive cloud server to remember its past actions, OpenViking essentially gives the AI agent its own digital filing cabinet right there in the backyard skyscraper.
Exactly.
It allows the agent to organize its resources and skills locally. But, and this is the big one that leaves one final massive hurdle, even with a filing cabinet, efficient memory, and a protected training environment, how does a single independent developer outsmart a $1 trillion model from Google or OpenAI?
That is where the community leverages their numbers. This raises a really important concept, swarm intelligence.
And the tool driving this is called Mirofish. 27,000 stars on GitHub, massive community adoption. It is a universal swarm intelligence engine for prediction tasks. So how does a swarm engine actually work in practice?
It relies on the wisdom of the crowd. Instead of asking one massive, incredibly expensive corporate model to solve a complex problem, MiroFish allows a developer to take dozens of smaller, cheaper, specialized models and have them tackle the problem together.
Like a team.
Like a team. They each generate a prediction or a solution, and the swarm engine aggregates those answers, essentially having the models vote on the best outcome.
Wow.
It turns out that a swarm of specialized, efficient models can frequently outperform a single monolithic giant.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? If you're listening to this deep dive on your commute or, you know, while walking the dog, why should you care about Graph Zero bypassing RAM or MiroFish organizing swarms?
If we connect this directly back to your world, it comes down to the barrier to entry for innovation.
Okay.
Historically, creating world-class technology required world-class capital. You needed access to a $1 billion data center just to get a seat at the table.
Right. You had to be a city planner.
You had to be a city planner. What this hyper-efficient open-source toolkit represents is that financial barrier dropping to absolute zero. You should care, because the next major breakthrough in artificial intelligence, the next application that changes how you work or live, might not come from a glass tower in Silicon Valley.
Right.
It could easily come from a student using OpenViking and MiroFish on a $9,000 rig in their dorm room.
That is a staggering thought. We have covered an immense amount of ground today, and it is incredible to realize that this is all drawn from a single day's news in AdRamic News.
One day.
Just one day. We are truly looking at a world split into two rapidly diverging tracks. On one side, you have Anthropic, OpenAI, and Google acting as the city planners. They are frantically trying to build institutional safety, paying massive executive salaries to govern academic research, and buying up security companies like PromptFu to keep their autonomous agents strictly on the leash.
They are trying to establish order and predictability in an inherently chaotic ecosystem.
And simultaneously, an army of independent developers out in the suburbs, armed with hyper-efficient tools like Graph Zero, Heretic, and localized home labs, are tearing those zoning laws down to democratize the technology.
Tearing them down.
They're mashing up models, explicitly stripping out the corporate censorship, and building swarm engines to rival the tech giants.
And for you listening, whether you're a seasoned developer soldering together your own home lab, or just a curious observer trying to make sense of the daily headlines, you are witnessing a profound historical power shift.
Truly.
Understanding these daily micro-updates, the launch of an institute, a memory mapping tool, a subtle change in a licensing agreement. It gives you the macro vision required to see exactly where society is heading. You are watching the fundamental infrastructure of tomorrow being built and fiercely contested in real time.
To wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a scenario to chew on. Think about those corporate city planners and think about the independent backyard builder. Now, imagine an autonomous AI agent utilizing that Google Chrome DevTools integration to actively browse a live critical website, maybe a banking portal or a municipal power grid.
Oh, wow.
Now imagine that agent discovers a zero-day security flaw, a vulnerability no one else knows exists. If that agent is running on a $9,000 home lab in Munich, utilizing a swarm intelligence engine like MiroFish to predict the perfect exploit, and all of its corporate safety guardrails have been completely stripped away by Heretic,
oh boy,
whose responsibility is what happens next? Is it the massive corporation that originally built the base model? Is it the open source developer who wrote the code to uncensor it? Or is it the independent researcher who ran the swarm in his basement? Think about that legal and ethical zoning nightmare until our next deep dive.